Welcome to Shakespeare FC, the Sonnets, a five-minute journey into the iambic opinations on life, love, death, and desire, with a smattering of nature and naughtiness from the mind of our literary epicure from Warwickshire, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. In his sonnets, Uncle Will wrote from a very personal place about the human condition, all in just 14 lines. But in that meager space, we can find an absolute wealth of human experience that you just might identify with. So, let's you and I go on a little journey. Today, Uncle Will is in a mood for comparisons, and some cheeky comparisons at that. It seems that Uncle Will has been bitten by the rationality bug, having been toiling under what some realists might call the rose-tinted Romeo effect. Well, it seems that William was channeling his inner Mercutio or even Jaques when he sat down to pen his 130th sonnet. In the first quatrain, he sets the scene with a very bold comparison with the eyes of his mistress and the very sun itself, saying that they are in fact nothing alike. He goes on saying that her red lips fail in comparison to the red color of coral, and if snow is white, why then, by comparison, her breasts are, at best, a brownish-gray color. Oh, and if hairs can be thought of as wires, why then, black wires grow on her head.
My mistress' eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why then her breasts are dun. If hairs be wires, black wires grow on her head.
In the second quatrain, William pulls out his green thumb and explains that he is very familiar with the pink, red, and white of roses, but claims he doesn't see such tint in her cheeks, and he finds far more pleasure in perfume than from his mistress' breath, which, by comparison, reeks.
I have seen roses damask'd, red and white, but no such roses see I in her cheeks. And in some perfumes is there more delight than in the breath that from my mistress reeks.
In the third quatrain, Uncle Will admits that he does love to hear her speak, but confesses that music is far more pleasing to his ear, and also concedes that he has never seen a goddess walking, but regardless, his mistress treads very firmly on the ground.
I love to hear her speak, yet well I know that music hath a far more pleasing sound. I grant I never saw a goddess go. My mistress, when she walks, treads on the ground.
In the final couplet, Uncle Will says that by heaven his love for his mistress is a rare and unique thing, for he loves her for what she is, not for the fictitious, poetical, romantic version of her.
And yet, by heaven, I think my love as rare as any she belied with false compare.
Every time I read this sonnet, I become more and more convinced that Will was not planning to be in the company of the Dark Lady when she read them, let alone reading them out loud to her. For though the turn on the couplet is quite nice and grounded in logic, by quatrain two, our raven-haired beauty would indeed have had a distinct rose color rising in her cheeks, methinks. The 12 preceding lines, or 85% of the whole sonnet, do give more weight to the pleasant, if not overly rational, message of the last couplet. That is, if you can manage to get there before you get the vase of red and white roses dumped over your head. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time. Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media. You can learn more and download all episodes at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.